Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I never get to do that. I never get to be like, I can't get into it.
I'll say it again so you can say it twice. Can you reveal anything that you've got going on?
Oh, man, I can't really get into it, but it's really exciting.
She's fighting out of Center City, Philadelphia, the gift of gab, Gabby Ortiz.
Gabby Ortiz, how are we doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm really good, thank you. We catch you today, and I want to mention this straight off the bat. If you're watching on the Patreon, you're seeing the video. We are in the most fabulous room for filming today's show. So Gabby, if you're watching on the Patreon, Gabby's now showing you this gorgeous foyer room area. So Gabby, explain where we are, or where you are, rather. I'm in my spare room, it's boring, but where are you?
All right. So I am in City Hall in Philadelphia. This is the mayor's office event room. So when we have holiday parties, or if you're a nonprofit organization and you want a cheap room to rent to have your event, you come here and all of the proceeds to the room rentals go toward the Philadelphia Public Fund, which is for schools and scholarships and things like that for Philadelphia youth. It's a pretty cool thing, and there's a lot of cool history in this room, but I won't get into that now. So over hundreds of years.
I mean, but in those hundreds of years, many amazing parties and do's have been held there. Like, when you stand in this beautiful room, are there memories that you have that come back of a particular occasion, a particular event that makes you smile?
Yeah. So the first administration's party here, which was in 2016, January 2016, and it was just, everything felt super hopeful and exciting, and we had good food here, and I was meeting all my new coworkers, and that was a really fun event. But then I did a lot of work in this room for a lot of really cool organizations. I remember one Christmas, I think it was 2018, we had a bike giveaway, so a lot of the Philadelphia foster kids came in, and we got bikes for them, and Santa came. It was the mayor. He was just Santa. No, I'm lying to you. He was just an elf from Will Ferrell's Elf.
Elf from off of Elf.
Yep. That's... Yeah, and that was a really beautiful, really beautiful occasion.
We'll touch on all sorts of things whilst we're here today, but we are here to talk wrestling as well. Yeah. In this wonderful room. And we're asking you, Gabby, to join us on a metaphorical desert island. And whilst you're there, to keep you entertained, you're allowed to pick three wrestling matches to watch whilst you are there. And we're going to go through the matches as we chat today. But what would you like match number one to be, first of all, Gabby?
I would be surprised if I was the first one to say this, but Bayley and Sasha Banks, 2015 NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, primarily because it's a long match, so it'll eat up a lot of my time. But it's a historical match in women's wrestling history, and it's something that I started training a couple months before that match aired. And when that match aired, I was like, oh, I made the right decision. So there's a lot of like good sentimental value to it. It's a great match, and it's a long one. So I think logistically it's a good match to choose.
Makes sense. So you say you were training whilst this match was on. So can you remember where you were when you watched it?
I was home when I watched it. I wasn't at training. Did it air on a Saturday or a Sunday?
I think it was a Saturday.
The takeover is on Saturday.
Yeah.
So I probably watched it on a Sunday because usually with like takeovers, they happen on Saturdays, and at the Monster Factory where I trained, there was a show that weekend. I remember this. There was a show that weekend. So I didn't get to watch Takeover live. So I had to watch it on Sunday. I remember just on Twitter. I think Twitter at this point was big in wrestling, but it's uncontrollable now. And it was cool to see everybody talking about it. And my Twitter presence wasn't big because I was still just a trainee. But I just remember seeing it trending outside of the wrestling community, which was really cool.
It's always exciting when that happens with wrestling, when suddenly people who are outside of your bubble goes, did you hear about this thing? It's always really cool.
It makes you feel good because you're like, oh, people, you know, I think as wrestlers and wrestling fans and wrestling media, we forget how niche it still is. Because I'll talk to people all the time, I'm like, oh, you're a professional wrestler? Do you know who Lou Albano is? I'm like, when was the last time you watched wrestling? Like, what? What? So, and they're like, well, I don't watch it since I was a kid, and it's like a 6-year-old man. And I'm like, you know, it humbles me. I'm like, okay, not everybody cares about what I'm doing in my little indie scene. But when you have like stuff like that trending on like mainstream, it's really cool.
But we're coming to a time now, aren't we, Gabby, where we are going to have a lot more sort of casual fans poking their head around the door again, because we're coming into Royal Rumble season. And then that's normally where my dad will go, hey, so is Hulk Hogan doing it this year? So like, you'll get me dad and you'll get people like that, and you'll get WrestleMania come around and people talk about it then. Yeah. And I imagine in the line of work that you do right now, when it comes up, I mean, does it come up a lot working in the mayor's office, or is it something that still catches some people off guard?
When I have my newer coworkers come in, all of my like, because there's a lot of like younger people coming in just to the tail end of our administration, we're almost done. They're coming in just to get some stuff on their resume as a young college student working for the press and being in journalism and stuff. And we have them in our press office, and my old coworkers who I've worked with since we started will be like, you know, she's a wrestler, right? And I'm like, and I'm sitting there like with my glasses on, my hair tied back. I don't look like I'd be much of anything. I try to keep it really conservative here, but everybody knows and everybody's super cool about it. When we hosted Royal Rumble in 2016 or 17, we had WWE Day here, and it was in our other event room, which is more for press conferences and like kind of like more of official business. It's a little bit nicer than this room too, but we had WWE Day, and it was with Royal Rumble. It was Royal Rumble, because I got to hear the buzzer in person for the first time, which is pretty cool. You know that thing. and Mark Henry and Bailey were here, and the mayor did a speech, and he mentioned that I was a professional wrestler myself. This was 2017, because I had already went to Japan at this point, and he mentioned that, and I cried. Everybody here knows about it, and everybody wants to talk to me about it. Sometimes I don't really want to talk about it, because I'm like dealing with people who need their potholes fixed in front of their house. It's like, could you imagine like Clark Kent being at like the Daily Planet, and someone comes up to him and they're like, oh, my cat's stuck in a tree, go help him. Kind of like that. I'm writing something right now. I'll get to that later.
I get it. Why did you cry out of interest?
Because it felt very validating with my choices in becoming a professional wrestler. I had a lot of people when I first started being like, you have like the coziest job on the planet. You have a pension, health insurance. You don't got to worry about anything. And you will be grandfathered into probably the next administration and the next administration until you retire. Why are you doing something so risky? And I have always been a risk taker. Even working here was a little bit of a risk, because I don't have a college education or anything. And my knowledge of municipal government is pretty good, but not to the point where I could be front of the lines for the mayor's office. So everything I learned on my own. And I was like, hey, you know, I can't imagine just doing this forever. And I'm not going to do this forever. And it was something that I could continue putting my creativity into, which is really important because I am at my core an art student. I went to an art high school, and working for government isn't very artsy. There's not much creativity I can put behind it as opposed to just decorating my office for the holidays. So I needed something else to channel my heart into. His service and being a service worker for the government and working for the people, I can put my heart into that, but I also have things that I need to fulfill for myself. And I get it. I loved wrestling so much. So.
And you've mentioned previously that it was the Monster Factory that trained you. You discovered the Monster Factory in the job before this. And whilst I am fascinated about the job that you do now, like, I've got to know the pros and cons of working in a haunted house, because that just sounds like the coolest gig.
Oh my God, I did not expect you to bring that up.
I did my research, Gabby. I'm one of them. I'm quite dangerous.
No, have you ever seen Nardwar? He's like a music journalist or an interviewer, and he interviews these musicians all the time, and he knows everything about them. And they're like, how did you know that? Like, I never even said that. And he never discloses his resources ever. That's what you just reminded me of. But
we're the same. We have the same sources. I can't disclose them. Okay. but how did that come about, the haunted house gig?
Well, I lived right down the street from this abandoned prison here in Philly. Everything I do just like goes back to it being in Philly. And I lived right down the street. You walk out my door, you could see it. It's this massive prison. It was this first prison with this sort of design, which is basically like a big square. And then like the jail cells kind of like go towards the middle of it. There's courtyards and stuff. Beautiful structure. It's super daunting and crazy. They host a haunted house every year, which is primarily a fundraiser for it as a historical site. And one of the things I avoided the most every year, because I hate haunted houses. I don't like them. I don't like them at all. And my family would get so frustrated with me because I was young and someone had to watch me while everybody else went to go to the haunted house. So at least one person a year would miss a haunted house. And I decided when I was 19 years old, looking for work, that I was going to face my fear head on and work at this haunted house that was down the street from my house. It seemed pretty convenient and it seemed like something brave for me to do. And it was a little bit, but also not really, because I never actually went through a haunted house when I worked there. I never walked through it. And I said I was going to. I was like, I'm going to go look. I'm going to go through it. I'm going to like face my fears. I didn't.
What did you do there at the haunted house then, if you didn't get a chance to walk through it?
So there were seven attractions, which are like seven different, like had seven different themes. And I basically sat at the front of the attraction and guided people in. So right. I would just guide them in and then scare them so they would move forward. That's what I did. We were called Line Beast. And there was this like one activity, it was our tech rehearsal before we opened up to the public. And each team for each attraction would go through every attraction except for yours. So I was behind my entire team and they went through and I ran over to the end of the haunted house and met them there. And I was like, whoa, that was so scary, guys, right? Wow. I didn't go in with them and nobody even noticed, which I was very happy about because like, you know, it was like a mandatory thing to do and I didn't do it.
All these years on, is there any regrets that you didn't go through it?
Not one. No, I my boyfriend, he took me to a haunted house like 2 years ago, but it wasn't like marketed as a haunted house. It was marketed as like a photo op at a hotel. So you went to the hotel and each room that they had designated was like a creepy theme, like murder or like dead prostitute or something. I don't remember. That's horrible.
It's a lovely thing.
But they didn't like mention that there was actors that were going to pop out and scare you throughout the whole thing. So I go through thinking we're going to take some cool like haunted house pictures or cool like scary creepy pictures with jump scares all over the place. And I literally had a panic attack. They had to stop the whole thing. And my boyfriend was so upset because he likes scary stuff. And they had to basically like warn all the actors in the rooms ahead of us to like not jump out at me. And at one point there was like a creepy little person with a rose and they handed it to me because they felt bad for like how scared I was, which was very sweet.
Oh.
But also extremely embarrassing because I was 26 years old.
If you're scared, you're scared, regardless of how old you are, you know? That's what it is. Yeah. That's it, babe. How amazing to say, though, that you worked at the haunted house despite the fact that you're frightened of haunted houses. You can always say that. That's there forever. But it was at the haunted house that you got told about the Monster Factory.
Yes, so, my coworker.
So that kind of bleeds into it quite nicely. So you end up going there. And as somebody who was a fan of wrestling, what was, can you remember day one? I always like to ask day one, like something that you picked up about wrestling on day one that surprised you.
Well, my day one was really interesting because X-Pac was there.
Nice.
John Waltman was there teaching everybody and kind of like, he wasn't doing any kind of seminars. So he was literally just like walking around and helping out with whatever he could. It was so funny because he wasn't in any kind of athletic wear. I mean, could you imagine him in any athletic wear? Because I sure can't. He was just in his like motorcycle jacket and like combat boots with his bandana on, looking pretty cool. And I'm like, oh wow, this is really interesting. This is X-Pac. And he taught me how to lock up.
No way.
So, yeah. And I actually just started implementing the X Factor and my moveset to honor that and honor him, because he basically was the reason that I even know how to start a match. So.
have you since reached out to him and told him that?
You're nervous.
Oh, no, you should. I probably shared a clip of that by now, so he'll see it. But that's a wonderful way to get into it from there. And like the Monster Factory has made some absolute forces of nature as well to come through there. Is there anybody that you graduated the word, sort of finished around the same time as in the Monster Factory?
Yeah, so Matt Riddle comes to mind. He was already there when I started. That's a huge one. Luis Martín, Damian Priest was my coach for a good while. Nick Camarado, who is in AEW, Preston Vance, also AEW. They were all my peers. QT Marshall was also one of my coaches, and he's a pretty hard hitter at AEW now, in the ring and backstage. And damn, who else? I mean, LSG, he was my boyfriend. he also came from the Monster Factory. Ian Riccaboni, who Ring of Honor's, like Ring of Honor's former announcer, not announcer, commentator. He's kind of going all over the place now. He was just at Impact over the weekend. I imagine he's going to be fine.
He's
the best. And me.
It's a good crowd of people. We want to talk about where we go from there, but we've got to pick your second match next. So we started off with Bayley and Sasha Banks from TakeOver. What would you like your next match to be, Gabby?
Probably Randy Orton versus Seth Rollins at WrestleMania 31. I really like that match.
Moment you say that, I picture the curb stomp into the RKO, that beauty of a finish. Oh,
that's basically the reason it's on there, because I love watching that. I love that finish so much.
Seth Rollins, I was going to say he was one of the guys that you first were drawn to watching wrestling, wasn't he, Seth Rollins?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we had to have a Rollins match in there somewhere.
So he almost didn't make it, though. He almost didn't make the cut. I was torn between that match and a kind of a deep cut with Samoa Joe and Brian Danielson at PGW, like I think it was like 2011 maybe. It's a great match, very technical. It's a longer match too, about 30 minutes. Yeah, that's a really good match. It's fun to watch.
So what was it that tipped Orton versus Rollins over the edge for you?
Seth Rollins
in it.
Yeah,
he is. Yeah, I get it. He is a handsome boy. I get it.
Yes. What can you say? And that finish. Oh, I love that finish so much. But I don't give too much credit because I don't want to sound like too much of a fangirl about how much Seth Rollins's influence got me into training. And I don't want people to think it's because I think he's just handsome. Everyone thinks he's a handsome guy, but it's because I just really enjoy him as a wrestler, all like through all facets, talking, in ring stuff. He's a consummate professional. And but like I said, I just don't want to sound like, oh, Gabby just is a crush on Seth Rollins. Like,
oh no, there's so much more to it. Is there a particular way that Seth Rollins does something that clicked with you as a fan, like a certain way he moves, a certain moveset, a certain way of speaking? Is there something like an intangible about Seth Rollins that really got you into him?
I mean, I thought his hair was so cool when he had the split.
Oh, when he had it down the one side, that was very cool.
I thought that was so sick. And he was like kind of this like true like rocker kind of dude, where it wasn't like this was just a gimmick. Like you could just tell, I could tell because I came up from like the emo screamo kind of scene here in Philly. Like I had a band here, and I guess I could just kind of tell that he was like that kind of guy. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And he's like a wrestler, you know? And also just his in-ring work is so good. It's just super entertaining. It's super smooth, but it's still like edgy. And I like that. I don't like when things are too clean. You know what I mean? I kind of like it when there's a little bit of like roughness to it. As he's progressed in WWE, it's gotten a little bit cleaner, but I would say like the Shield NXT stuff, it was pretty edgy. And I really liked that.
There was a roughness to him that, yeah. and when he turned heel, like you see all those different layers. And I think now, and a few of us have said it here as well, I think he's doing some of the best work he's ever done.
Oh my God. Yeah. And I actually, after I got into wrestling and more into like the indie wrestling and stuff, my boyfriend showed me the Age of the Fall stuff that he did with Jimmy Jacobs at Ring of Honor. Beautiful.
It is wonderful, wonderful stuff. You mentioned there your band. Was this an emo screamo band?
More emo. I was the vocalist, and I can't scream, and none of my bandmates could either. So it was more, I would say, a little bit more pop punky, a lot of Paramore influence in it. I wish we could have had screaming in it though, because that would have, I think, set us aside from everybody always saying, you guys are like Paramore. I didn't want to be just like them, but because we didn't have a screamer, that was like what we always got lumped into. But then all my bandmates went to college and I didn't. So we had to disband.
What was the band called?
We were called the Gaskill Jumpers. Reason being, our rehearsal space was on South Street here, and there was an alleyway right by our rehearsal space that was called Gaskill Street. And at one point, me and my guitarist, we were like hiding, waiting for our drummer and our bassist to come out. They were dating at the time, so they were always together. And we like jumped out and like scared them and stuff. And at this time, we were trying to like come up with a band name. And then the Gaskill Jumpers came
makes
up.
I mean, yeah, I like it. It's a fun name. I know that you guys did some, like you did cover stuff as well, but yeah. did you do your own music as well, didn't you? As part of Gaskill.
Yeah, I wish I had more footage of it. I think my dad has it somewhere.
I think I've lost you.
Am I there?
Hello.
Hi. Oh,
sorry, you've gone quiet. I can't hear you. Headphones are on. Can you unmute your speaker? Oh, hang on. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. You've frozen. Oh, there you go. We're back. Okay. So I have no idea what happened there. Apologies.
It's okay.
You did your own music, didn't you, for Gaskill Jumpers?
Yeah, we did. There was one particular song that we went in and recorded called Fingers. It was going to be our single for an EP we wanted to record. It just never panned out. Sometimes that kind of stuff happens. And I was the only one writing lyrics, and I wasn't that good at it. So it was, I felt kind of like alone in that, but, and the musical arrangements were done by someone who used the rehearsal space for his band, called John and Brittany. His name's John Fay. He's an amazing musician from out here. And he helped us with the musical arrangements. So it almost felt like me and him were in a band and not like in the guys, the drummer, bassist, and guitarist were kind of just like playing the music. So that was a big issue that we had. It just didn't work out.
Would there be a Gaskill Jumpers reunion on the cards at some point, do you think?
I don't think so, because like the bassist and the bassist and the drummer were dating. They're not dating anymore. It's been a long time, so I don't think that's gonna happen. Maybe me and my guitarist Carol, because we still keep in touch.
Right. So if it was, it'd be a fragmented version of the band. And if it's not the full band, there should be no band at all. As it should be. But did the music stuff at any point feel like a stronger direction or a stronger pull than the wrestling stuff?
Yeah, definitely, because wrestling wasn't even on, being a wrestler wasn't even on my radar at that point in time. I didn't think that was even possible for me to do because I'm not super athletic. And I was so just entranced in it. That was like what I did every weekend. I didn't party every weekend. I didn't go out. I played shows and I rehearsed. So that was my life.
When wrestling came along and you're in the Monster Factory, you've got this incredible group of people who, like yourself, will go on to do great things. And a lot of people will have seen you recently. You popped up to say hi as part of AEW Dark. And I'm always intrigued by the process of that, which we want to get to in a bit. But what a lot of people will always surprised to hear is that you've had this wonderful career before then. You had a tour of Japan that is always nice to share with people. Going back, what led to going to Japan? Because for somebody like yourself, who's, as you say, always based so strongly in Philadelphia, was that quite a daunting step to make? Or did that seem quite an obvious step to make? Let's go to Japan. Let's just hit reset and do it all.
It was really daunting, because not only would that have been the longest and furthest away I've been from home, I was only 5 matches in when they sent me. I barely even knew how to wrestle. So that it was the most daunting thing I think I've ever done in my life. And I'm glad I did it.
Why so soon?
Gotta ask Rossi, the owner. I don't know. He liked me. He just liked what I at the tryout. And I went there as a fill-in because the original girl that was there was supposed to be there. She got a concussion, so she couldn't participate. And they were like, oh, we need a body. Dad, we know you're not technically qualified to be here because you needed to have at least a year in. At least 20 matches, I think, was the thing. There was criteria that I didn't fit. And they were just like, we need a body. You're not going to be picked. Don't worry about it.
And lo and behold, you were.
Yeah. So I couldn't believe it. But I guess it was meant to be.
Talk to me about your first week in Japan, like first away from home, all coming as a bit of a surprise, the entire thing. How did you get on in that first week?
Well, I'll tell you this much. I was looking for tickets to come home.
Oh, gosh.
It was not fun. I hurt myself at training. The Japanese girls didn't really like me all that much because they knew I was brand new and I didn't know what I was doing. They were frustrated with me and I was frustrated with myself. Thank God for my roommate, especially Rebel, who was my roommate at the time, and Shanna. She was an AW, no longer anymore. They were my roommates and they were veterans of this business. So they had my back when the Japanese girls didn't really like me at first. I had my first match. I got kicked in the head really, really hard. I had a huge bruise on my face right here and a photo shoot the next day, which I was really pissed off about. But then I went up to the girls in the match and I was like, don't fucking do that to me. I was like, I'm not I'm not like, I'm sorry if I'm not allowed to curse, but
No, you can fucking swear away. It's absolutely fine.
Thank you. Cool. I went up to the girls and they knew what the F word meant because we were laughing about curse words in English at training the one day. So I knew, then I was like, don't fucking do that. I was like, I'm not here to like to get beat up all the time. I'm not here to be a punching bag. I'm here to work and train with you guys. Stop. Don't do that to me again. And it got back to Ring of Honor that it happened, that I was intentionally hurt because they intentionally hurt me. And it wasn't a good time my first week there. There was a lot of strife. But then after I did that, I stood up for myself and I started hitting harder. I got the respect that I earned.
Was that what it was about then? Was it just a case of they almost wanted you to fight back? Because it's a bit of an old school mentality.
Oh, it's old school over there. I would say it's pretty old school over there with that. Less in Stardom, but it's still there. There's still that cold. I don't know if it's like that anymore, but it was when I was there. A little less subtle than it used to be, I'd say. But there was definitely that, like, this girl's weak and we have to like haze her a little bit. And that lasted but one match before I was like, don't fucking do that. Mm. I was like, I'm not like, I'm a little teenage girl. And I've had to live in a city where every day I walk out, it's a fight. I gotta like protect myself. So like, don't mess with me. And they never did after that. Every other match was smooth sailing after that. And I had a great time after that too. So because that first week was a little bit of growing pains, and then it got a lot easier.
Once you stood up for yourself and said, no, I'm not going to take this anymore, that was when it became easier. When you went from there, what I mean, there are happier memories of your time in Japan, yeah, isn't there?
Of course. Oh my God. Like that first week was really the worst week. And then everything after that was great. I ended it like we were in a big like parking lot, like a parking garage. And it was the last time I was going to see the girls. And they were all saying bye to us. And I got in the middle and I was like, group hug. And they all dog piled and we hugged and cried. So like I said, it got a lot better. And that was a really good memory. And that was one of my last ones there. Tony Storm and I had to like cuddle in a bed for a little bit because there was a big earthquake. As scary as that was, it was a nice moment because I really like Tony. and Viper was there, Piper Niven. She was one of my roommates too, and just having her around and like the fun we'd have, and like we'd watch RuPaul's Drag Race in our apartment, and it was really lovely.
Have you had much contact with Tony Storm or with Piper Niven? Because obviously Tony Storm has been somebody a lot of people have talked about over the past couple of weeks. Are you still in touch with Tony?
Not so much Tony, but Piper. Yeah, I keep in touch with Piper a lot. Tony is kind of too fucking cool. She's a cool girl. No, so she's a little bit harder to keep in touch with, but that's okay. I get fucking really busy and just got a lot going on. Piper does too, but I think Piper and I just have a little bit more of a connection in Japan, even though Tony and I had that moment, but I would say that I spent more of my time with her and just we got a little bit closer, which I love. She's an amazing person.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Let's dip into AEW because you made an appearance on Dark recently that very much put you well and truly on the map there. How did all that come about? What's the process of getting onto a show like AEW Dark? How did that work out?
Just walk in the building and they say, okay,
I'm get on. They went, oh, it's Gabby Ortiz, get her on immediately.
Get out there. So I mentioned earlier, QT Marshall was my trainer. He's someone that broke me in and he works backstage. So I hit him up and I said, hey, I think I'm ready to like to do extra work for AEW. How would I go about doing that? He gave me the email to their talent coordinator. I emailed the talent coordinator, and about a week later, I was at the taping in Philly. I didn't wrestle there, but I had a good time, made good connections. My favorite being Eddie Kingston. He wouldn't say the same about me, but that's beside the point.
Why would he say the same about you?
He thinks I'm a little rascal. Literally, every time I went back, I walked past him like, three or four times each time. It was one of these. He treats me like I'm like a little sister. It's fun. We both have the same background. We're Puerto Rican and Irish. We're both from the inner city and we're both wrestlers. So we have a lot more in common than I think he cares to admit. He's great. So I made good connections there and I was asked to come back, which is when I wrestled in Long Island. So that's how that happened.
And is there more conversations about you doing more with them?
Yeah. I had a good talk with my opponent, Thunder Rosa, and after the match aired, and she alluded to some stuff. I'm not going to get too into it. But
I was hoping you would.
I never get to do that. I never get to be like, I can't get into it.
Well, now you have. Now, in fact, I'll say it again so you can say it twice. Can you reveal anything that you've got going on?
Oh man, I can't really get into it, but it's really exciting.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Say no more. So, as well as taking three wrestling matches, I like to spring this upon people, Gabby. It's nothing bad, I promise. As well as taking three wrestling matches, you're also allowed to take with you a movie, an album, and a luxury item. So by a luxury item, I can mean it could have some sentimental value. It could be a bit of tech to keep you amused while you're on the island. It can sometimes be pets. It doesn't have to be pets. You're not a monster if you don't choose pets. But let's start with a movie. So if I was to say to you, you could take a movie to watch, Gabby, what would it be? It's a really tough question.
Yeah, it is. I'm going to say Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
So why that particular Potter? Out of all the others,
it's my favorite one. It's my favorite movie.
It's all right. Why is it your favorite?
Oh, it's my favorite book too. I like it because at the time it came out, the ages of like the characters kind of sort of started to align with my age. So it felt a little bit more relatable. And it's just like, It's just a really fun movie. And Harry, I think Daniel Radcliffe really shows off his acting chops in that movie. And it's cool to see him be a little flirtatious with Cho. It just shows a different dynamic to the characters. And the ending like battle is just incredible. I love that movie. And the book, I think it's the longest one aside from the last one that's aside from Deathly Hallows. So I just, Order of the Phoenix, and you get more Gary Oldman than the other ones. So
yeah, it gets
and I like Gary Oldman.
he's brilliant. But that one in particular, that's where you really start to feel because we had the Goblet of Fire before.
Yeah.
That was Goblet of Fire was they ended on the death, and from there it just gets progressively darker.
That's what there's a huge tone shift.
Yeah,
in that movie,
and I like that.
And
for
which.
It.
Yeah, which leads from the Goblet of Fire, which, you know, where Cedric dies. Spoiler alert, sorry, it's been 20 years.
still not over it. Did you see it was on one of the channels over here the other night? Did you see they did a reunion for Harry Potter?
I haven't got a chance to see it yet because I've been away from home for a while and I want to watch it with my dad.
Right. It's emotional. You've been warned. It's emotional. It's bittersweet. It's like they're all be ready for it. I love that you want to wait and watch it with your dad. Be ready for it.
He took me to all the midnight screenings. So
he's got to be there for it. He's got to be there for it.
We read all the books together. And my boyfriend, it came out, I think, New Year's. And I was with my boyfriend. He's like, let's put it on. Let's watch it. And I was like, you've only watched the first two. I'm not watching this with you. No. No way. So I'm going to pitch watching it tonight. So
my good lady, please do. Because my good lady watched the reunion one the other night before I did. And she's been a Harry Potter fan all her life, very much like yourself, sort of grew up with them. She had tears in her eyes in the first 5 minutes. So be warned. Be warned.
Thank you.
It's going to be fine. How about an album, Gabby? What album would you take? You could take one of your own, obviously, but if not.
I don't have one. I wish I did, though. And I wouldn't. I can't stand the sound of my own voice. It's got to be a Fall Out Boy album. I'm just trying to think which one.
Are you a fan of more their earlier stuff or sort of pre-Infinity on High? Or
I'm a fan of all their stuff. Everything they've ever released, I'm a fan of. I'm not one of those like, I only like the earlier stuff. I still think they're brilliant to this day. I'm going to say From Under the Cork Tree.
Nice.
So where Sugar We're Going Down, Dance Dance are on that album. And I'm going to include the B-sides and the Japanese releases too because I'm allowed. I decided here so I get a little bit more content.
It's your desert island trip, so yeah, take the longer version. Absolutely. Okay, luxury item.
All right, this one's gonna be a little bit vapid. It's not anything sentimental, it's not tech, but sunscreen, because I'm very protective of my skin, so I would bring sunscreen.
Do you burn easily?
No, but I use a lot of products on my skin that cause photosensitivity, so I could burn easily, but I don't know because I wear sunscreen every day. But when I was a kid, I didn't, but because I use these certain products that like exfoliate my skin chemically and do all these crazy things, I'm very protective. So if I'm on a fucking desert island, I'm bringing sunscreen with me because I haven't aged a day since high school and I'm not going to start.
I like it. It's tactical. I like it a lot.
I know.
Let's get on to your third and final match then. So we've had Bayley and Sasha Banks from TakeOver. We went Randy Orton, Seth Rollins from WrestleMania, the curb stomp into the RKO. What a handsome man. Your third and final match then, Gabby, what are we going for?
This is sentimental. It's C2C, Coast to Coast, versus War Machine in Philadelphia, December 2017. It's when War Machine left Ring of Honor. This is a Ring of Honor match. And they were sent off by my boyfriend's tag team at the time, Coast to Coast. I was there. One of my favorite matches of all time, just in general, no bias. If I had just seen it as a person that didn't know them personally, I would still say this. And I was extremely proud of both of them, all four of them really, but really Coast to Coast because they're my family. My dad was there. His family was there. My boyfriend's family, because he's in that tag team, Coast to Coast, was in the tag team. They don't exist anymore. And it's just such a special memory for me that I would like to be able to just watch the footage whenever I wanted to on this desert island. Especially because I'm sure if I'm on this desert island, I would miss my boyfriend. So
that is true.
I'd want to watch him wrestle. So
do you think there's a lot of pressure on a match like that for your good fella and his partner in Coast to Coast to be that final match for War Machine before they head into the E Machine? Like, was there pressure that night for him?
Yeah. Usually at Ring of Honor shows, they had like a formula they went by, especially if they were wrestling like the Young Bucks or, you know, those like more high flying teams. War Machine was like a different, or Malonis, Beer City Bruisers. They had their like formula with them. War Machine, this was like new for them. They were main eventing that night, and it was War Machine send off, which is huge. And this began what was planned for them, like a winning streak that they had, which culminated in Vegas against the Briscoes. Then they went off to Germany. C2C went off to Germany. But yeah, there was a ton of pressure. I barely talked to him that day. Usually at Ring of Honor shows, like, because I wrestled for them, I wasn't on that show, but like I'm able to go in the back and like, you know, network and talk to old friends and talk to him, talk to my boyfriend LSG and help him get ready and stuff, because like I'm supportive and he's just as supportive of me too. So we're a team. I barely saw him that day. He was like tunnel vision focused, which I was like, do that, be that. And they put on an amazingly just captivating match. I was so proud of them. I say them because I do love Shaheem, his tag partner, but I was really, really proud of LSG because he did such a good job. And I think he's still chasing the high of that match to this day.
How did you and LSG meet?
At the Monster Factory.
Can you remember the first conversation you had?
He doesn't. I was getting taught how to bump on a crash pad, and I hadn't met him yet. I had been at the school for a couple weeks at this point, but he was out because he had gotten septum surgery. So I never met him, but I kept hearing about one of the students there that just got a nose job. So that was like the joke that LSG just got a nose job, but he had like a deviated septum, that poor guy. They were just making fun of him. And they were teaching me how to bump, and he came up and he gave me a little bit of a technique, and that was our first conversation. And he had like a little brace on his nose and his cute glasses, and I was like, oh no, I have a crush on him. And then look at us now. It's been like it's gonna be 7 years in the summer.
When did from seeing the guy with the nose job and the glasses, when did both of you realize, oh, this is the thing, we should do something about this?
You're gonna make me cry because it's just like he's so important to me and my journey in wrestling and just my life journey. This is an important part of it. I had a major crush on him, but one of our other conversations we had was about his ex-girlfriend, and he was like upset at her because of some bullshit or whatever. And I was like, oh no, he's still caught up on his ex. Like, I don't have a shot. And I also heard him say, like in passing, I would never date another wrestler. And I was like, all right, never mind. There's no chance. I have no chance with this guy, even though I had a major crush on him. And we had a Monster Factory camp. And when there's a Monster Factory camp, anybody from all walks of wrestling life can come. And so you meet a bunch of new people. And there was this guy there who I was like, well, I don't have a chance with LSG, so I'm just going to talk to this. I'm just going to like flirt with this guy. Kind of to make him jealous a little bit.
That old chestnut.
It kind of worked. So I'm like talking to this guy, and like our friend Royal, he was like, oh, sorry. My phone just kind of, there we go.
That's okay.
Sorry about that. Our friend Royal was like, yo, Gabby's talking to this guy, like, you gotta get up on. And he's like, nope. He's like, nope. If she wants to talk to that guy, she's talking to that guy. At the end of the camp, a lot of the people from outside had left. We were cleaning up after and decided to go to a diner. And the same guy, Royal, who was also part of the first conversation, he was the one teaching me how to bump when LSG had walked in. He was like, oh, Gab, are you gonna come to the diner? I was like, no, I have to go home. My dad's coming to pick me up. And they were like, no, come to the diner. I was like, I don't have a ride. So Royal dragged me out to Gio's car, opened the door, put me in the car, buckled my seatbelt, and said, Gio, give her a ride. His name's Gio. Gio, give her a ride to the diner. And he did. And when we were in the parking lot, we were in the car for, I think, like an hour and a half, just talking to each other, just getting to know each other. And we missed getting to eat because it was too late. And then my dad met up with us and he picked me up and took me home, and we went on a date like I think 2 months later, because we would just hang out at the Monster Factory and chit chat and stuff. Then we finally went out on a proper date after a Monster Factory show, and ever since we've been together ever since.
It's the best when it happens, and I love the part with you guys sat in the parking lot just talking for an hour and a half, because that's when it is, when it's at its best, when it is so easy, when there's no airs and graces. And I know, like you say, there's I crushed him and all that stuff, but once you sat down and actually got into each other's heads, like, this is so easy, like this is the best for that reason, and like why are we wasting any more time?
It's exactly basically what happened. I found out later, much later, that we had a training match. Danny partnered us up together, because it was like the older students and the newer students. The task was for the older students to put a new person through a match. And the task for us was to just get through a match. And Danny partnered us up together. And I'm like freaking the fuck out, because like, not only am I wrestling a match, I'm wrestling the guy I have can crush on, like, oh my god. And so he's like putting this match together, talking to me and stuff, and I'm just like listening and looking. There's one point he had me in like a chin, like a rest hold, and he's like whispering like what to do next, and I'm like gonna throw up. and I'm just like thinking, and we had a good match, it ended up being really good, they were impressed with it. I found out that was the day that he started having feelings for me. He was like, when I was planning the match and looking at you, like looking at me plan this match, I went, oh no, I have feelings for this girl. He's like, oh no, because it was his rule of never to date another wrestler. And he was screwed at that point, because
it was it was undeniable. And it was just,
it really was.
But it showed, and when you say how important, like, and how important you both are for your wrestling careers, like the fact that, you know, it was a romance that was born in the Monster Factory. Like, he realized when locking up with you, oh no, fancier. Like, that shows you how intrinsic it is.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. And I love that. And fair play to both. It's lovely to hear. And I know that LSG would be key. I know he will be cringe hearing us talk about him so much? He will. Excellent.
But I know that that deep down in his little tummy, that he'll be really happy about it. I think it's like gush over him all the time. I gush over him to his face all day. Like, that's just what I do. And it's like, I know, like, I'll, like, he'll be like, you're so cute. And he's like, please stop. Like, just like, shut up. I'm like, no. So yeah, I think it'll make him a little bit embarrassed, but I don't care.
Let's take the last part of this to gush all about you, Gabby Ortiz, because it's been genuinely lovely to have you on the island. And it feels like, you know, 2021 was incredible, because as we were all getting back into it, like, I felt like you got busier. Like, and there's still people who, you know, last year doesn't really count for a lot of people, but I feel like you just kind of went from here to here during a year as the worlds were coming back. Does it feel that way?
Oh, yeah, it was my busiest year so far. Was 2020. I had over 60 matches, which had never happened to me before. So it was my busiest year, which was crazy, because that was not the case for a lot of people.
It was, no, absolutely not. And I know you don't want to give away too much about AEW stuff, and that's fine. But is it, you know, looking ahead to, you know, we've got WrestleMania season around the corner with loads of companies coming in and out of Dallas. We've got loads of stuff happening around the wrestling world again as the world gets back to normal. Is there stuff that you're hoping to do this year, or stuff that you already got planned that you can tell us about?
So unfortunately, the one huge thing I was looking forward to the beginning of this year was PPW Ultra in California, Wilmington, which is a suburb of Los Angeles. I was super looking forward to that. It isn't happening. It got canceled because of a surge that we're having all over the country, which is fine, safety first, but they informed me that yes, I will be back when they're up and running again. So that is going to happen. Something I can mention with my talk with Thunder Rosa is her company Mission Pro in Texas, which is the majority women's company that I will be debuting there, which is very exciting. Hopefully, I think we're talking about WrestleMania weekend. I'm not totally sure yet though. And I mean, honestly, like I'm very much this person that's like, shit's going to just come and I just got to like, you know, and everything's going to be okay. That's how I like went through it last year and it worked out. I kept getting offers and I reached out to people I wanted to actively work for and it just kind of worked out. So I'm going to keep going with that. I mean, my schedule's pretty light right now for the beginning of the year and that's okay. I got a little bit of nagging injuries. I kind of want to rest up. And then I'd say come spring, maybe late winter, things will pick up a lot more.
And if people want to find out more and watch as things pick up, where can people find you online, Gabby?
They can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Gabbity. That's G-A-B-B-I-T-Y. I'd say if you really want to get to know who I am, follow me on Twitter. Because
it is the right place. I like to end on this question because it's nice to give us a chance to reflect. If you had the chance to go back, and we want to take you back to the Gabby Ortiz that we have in front of us now, go back to the haunted house, and you've just waved them off. Hey, isn't that scary, everybody? Bye. Yes, I've been in. Bye. And you're able to tell that Gabby something that will hold them in good stead for years to come. What would you like to tell them?
Lift more weights.
Lift more weights.
That's not very like, it would be very useful for me back then.
Like the sun cream, it's tactical.
I can be sentimental all I want for a bunch of other things, but when it comes to my skincare and my physical health, I have to be very tactical about those things.
Coming to us from the most beautiful room in the mayor's office, Gabby Ortiz, thank you for joining us on Cultaholic Island.
Thank you for having me. This is so fun.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.